Howdy all, this is Shane, and welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. This is episode 3 of the podcast that can now also be found on iTunes just by searching for In the Blues on their store. I had a lot of requests to add it to Android apps as well, and I need to look into that. So thanks for all the suggestions, and I'll try and get that done sometime this month. And also, you can just go to guitarpedaldemos.com, which is my other website, to basically stream it from there as well. It should work on any smartphone or tablet. Today will be a different podcast. I actually have a guest on with me, and it's Dave Street from Little Crow Guitars, and we're going to have a chat via Skype shortly. For those that don't know the Little Crow Guitars or bass guitars, head over to littlecrowguitars.com or punch it into the search engine on YouTube and check out some of his guitar and bass demos. His latest guitar, the Corvino SD, totally blew me away. I want to have a chat to him about that. It's a huge step in the right direction. His guitars have always been good, but now they're going past good and they're becoming great. It's one of the best guitars I've ever played, and it sounds really, really nice. So yeah, I was dying to have a chat to him about that, and Dave was nice enough to come onto the show and have a chat with everybody. So we're going to touch on some subjects and take it from there. Hello, Dave.
Shane.
You're the first guest on the In the Blues podcast, so thanks so much for being a part of this. I appreciate it.
No worries. I'm honoured.
Now, there's a bit of buzz going around about that new SD Corvino that has been posted on YouTube. I got to say, I'm really impressed with the step in a different direction from the original. Well, I guess I would just start by asking you just a couple of questions about how, I guess, Little Crow Guitars started and what made you want to build guitars.
Well, I suppose the way it got going is because we make furniture normally, and we had a bit of a lull in the furniture market, and we were looking at other things to make. And I actually heard a radio program about another Australian guitar maker, a guy by the name of Greg Smallman. He makes acoustic and classical guitars. And I just liked the way he approached the whole thing and the way he got started, which was, you know, it was totally out of his field. And he just immersed himself and got totally dedicated. And I found that quite inspiring. And I thought, you know, I've always had an interest in music. I haven't been much of a musician, but because we work so much with wood, we thought it'd be worth a try. And it's been a real adventure, actually.
So you definitely have a unique design to your guitars. What was the major influence on the way that you took your designs?
It was a long process, really. We started off with a solid body, you know, and then I think I posted on Facebook some sort of sketches that I'd made, and one of them was pretty much the prototype of the Corvino, and that actually got the most response. And so I ran with that idea and just developed it a bit further. And I suppose that's the refinement of that sort of seed. After looking at various models online, you know, of different makers, I was quite influenced by Nick Huber's designs.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite guitars ever.
Makes some really nice guitars. And I've been a bit influenced by him. And, I can't think of anyone else really offhand. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. I didn't know that actually until now. That when I was away recently, I got a chance to play a couple of hundred left-handed guitars. And, the Nick Huber stuff really stood out. And, I didn't know anything about them. And they've got a really unique design and great tone as well. So you're sort of in the same ballpark of having something that's really quite appealing to traditionalists in terms of what they would like in guitars, as well as maybe venturing out of that typical, you know, Strat Tele kind of vibe. But you've taken that and you've actually made it into something that looks and sounds quite a lot better. It absolutely kills my 52 Tele, and I'm really kind of like, I'm shocked and surprised and happy at the same time that it actually like wiped the floor with it. So it just, those pickups and the wood you've chosen are fantastic. I guess, what sort of wood, was it a different wood used on this one to the previous model?
Well, it's this one is mostly all ash, and that is it's either known as Victorian ash or mountain ash, and so it comes from your part of the world, and it's an incredibly resonant timber. And I did use that on the body of the first one, but the first one had a maple cap, and maple, it's nice, but it's not as resonant as the ash. And the only drawback with the ash is a little bit harder to work with, because there can be some internal checking, which is like little cracks inside the timber. So there's a bit of sort of sorting out and culling to do in the process of making the guitar. But I really like the timber, and especially the resonance. Mm.
Yeah, okay, great. And for those who don't know, I'm located in Melbourne, Australia, and Dave is actually in Western Australia, in Australia as well. Not to be confused with his accent, which is from South Africa, is it?
Close? I was Cape Town, right, yeah, cool. That part of the world.
Very nice. So it'd be a bit of a change in climate from over there?
No, quite similar. Okay, we're just cool. Where we are now is probably a bit hotter though, because we're a bit inland. So we've sort of found ourselves a rural spot where we can work in peace and quiet, but gets a bit hot in summer.
Yep. Yeah. I also noticed on some of the bass forums that the Little Crow bass video that I did with Oscar was getting quite a bit of interest as well. Are you going to continue making basses down the track, or have you got any plans for maybe new bass guitars also?
We'll be doing we're in the process of doing another version of that particular bass guitar that we did that Oscar tested for us.
Yep.
And I suppose at that stage when we sent you those guitars, we were still trying to refine our finish, and I was still doing a sprayed finish, which we discovered really didn't suit our setup. You know, it wasn't because we're a small workshop, we're not set up so well for spraying, and we found an oiled finish that suits us really well. It takes a little bit longer to apply and, you know, get done, but it's actually, and I, in a way, I quite like the oiled finish because it makes it look more like a handmade guitar. So we're quite happy with the finish. So I'll be doing another bass along those lines, and then probably we'll develop another bass a bit further on down the track. Yeah.
Yeah, the new guitar, the finish and the wood type on that is awesome. And I guess if you haven't put it or actually felt the guitar in your hand, you might assume that you could feel all the grain in the wood, but it's actually still quite smooth, so... Yeah,
it's actually got quite a good. It has quite good grain filling properties, that particular finish we're using, and it doesn't get, because I noticed on one of your posts you'd sanded back the gloss finish on one of your your net.
Two of them, in the end.
Right, because they can get a bit sticky, can't they?
Yeah. The Squire Classic Vibe was, it felt and looked nice. I just took the outer most layer off. It was, it's funny. Over the years, I used to really like high gloss guitars. Now I don't. So yours felt great, and I love the neck shape. Did feel a little different on this new one. It actually felt more comfortable to play. And I also noticed you've put I think vintage style frets on as opposed to the jumbos.
Almost vintage, they're definitely smaller than the first lot we used. So, we thought we'd try the smaller frets, and So, do you think it's an improvement or?
Yeah, I see. It's easier to play than the original, and you feel the frets less as you slide.
Okay.
The only trade-off sometimes is if frets get too small. Not on this one in particular, but I find if frets are too small, bending can be. You don't really feel like you're getting enough grab, but they're definitely a good size. I wouldn't go any smaller than that.
I think they seem to work all right because it's a fairly flattish profile. We use a 12-inch radius on the necks, and I think the fatter frets possibly suit a smaller radius, like some of the Fenders, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you could be right. So the pickups in the guitar, you've still used the Briley pickups?
Those are still the Briley, the matched set that that was a brilliant suggestion of yours, using those for that guitar. And interestingly enough, you don't see that combination around all that often. So it makes it sort of nicely unique, and it certainly seems to suit that the whole tonal structure of that guitar.
Yeah, definitely. It's got an acoustic quality without sounding like an acoustic guitar. It has that resonance and brightness, and the mini humbucker is always been one of my favorite pickups. And being a lefty, you can't sort of find left-handed guitars, yeah, with that pickup combination in particular.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
they're just not around. And they definitely sound really lively, which is great. A little bit about the new design with the blues planks. So can you fill everybody in about those? Those are nice to look at, and actually they're great to play too, considering the size of them.
Yeah, so well, that was an interesting... I've always been interested in minimalism, and I quite like the idea of the 3-string and the 4-string guitars. And, and then I heard Justin Johnson playing. He does some really nice stuff with those Roots instruments. And I thought it might be worth checking that sort of scene out. And rather than making cigar box guitars ourselves, because there's quite a lot of people making those out there, and I thought, seeing as a lot of them are electrified anyway, why not make a solid-bodied version? We wouldn't be getting the feedback problems, and Pruss would be getting the nice resonance from our local timbers here, and they seem to have worked out pretty well. So we're going to pursue that, a couple more different body designs, and we'll probably make some of those 3- and 4-string ones in more of a conventional guitar shape, because I think they seem to be a bit more appealing to people, and sort of make it look like a normal guitar rather than the old the blues plank, which I was trying to make sort of semi-primitive and just sort of rootsy, but yeah.
Yeah, I definitely saw, I got on their website earlier and just had a look through some of the pictures of the other types of blues planks, and they're all quite different to each other in shape.
Yeah.
I got to say, I'm a little partial to the one you sent me down. I think that's my favorite of the bunch in terms of in look, at least.
Right. It seems to have more overall appeal, really. It's got that sort of double cutaway sort of shape. And I'll probably make a refined version of that and put a couple of pickups in, so it sort of gets a little bit, it gets sort of pushed up the scale a little bit, and, has the full controls and everything.
Yeah.
But it's nice to be able to offer the different options. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they're a really unique thing, and I think you've got something that will appeal to a lot of different players, and they sound great, because I think you sent another blues plank off to a player in the US. What was his name again?
Justin Johnson.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, he did a great video of it, and I was like, well, what do I do after a guy's done a great video like that? So I'm like, I'll just take it and play it live and just chuck on as much, blues overdrive as I could and all that kind of stuff. And
It was great. I really enjoyed that too.
Yeah,
and I think, some of those sort of simpler guitars, they just seem to suit a lot of more elemental playing, like even verging towards the, punk and sort of that sort of stuff, just sort of nice garage rock and, nice down-home blues. Oh, yeah.
I think the best thing about Telecasters, for example, is they've got 2 pickups and 2 controls, volume and tone, and simple is always good in my book. I think the more things you have on a guitar to fiddle with, the less you'll actually be able to play. And that's why I loved about the Corvino and the blues plank. The blues plank, 1 control, volume, and that was it. It was like, you don't have to worry about fiddling with the tone controls or, another volume control for the other pickup or whatever the combination is. That's what I hate about my 335. It's the only thing I don't like about it. I wish my 335 just had a pickup. You can select which pickup and 1 volume and 1 tone control. That's it. When you start getting too many things on a guitar, it gets maybe a little distracting. I really love the fact that you can just plug that blues plank in and go for it. And I was thinking, maybe is there any chance you might also incorporate a neck pickup on one of those bad boys?
Yeah, definitely. No, there'd be a twin P90 version of that, possibly a twin humbucker version as well. Yeah,
that would be really cool. I'd love to try that out. And I think even just leave the tone control out of it. Just keep it as simple as the other one. Yeah, and just I don't know. I kind of like the fact that it's just a volume control guitar. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did, because I've often thought about the live. You know, I read some of these forums, and there's always fors and againsts. But yeah. I think the live situation definitely keep it simple, sort of thing. You know, I think the more controls are when you've got the luxury of time in a studio situation, you can fiddle and fart around. But yeah, I think live seems to favour simplicity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know a lot of. I mean, there would be definitely guys out there that would use tone controls on a neck pickup, but I never do. Mm-hmm. I always leave them wide open. So the only I might even consider using a tone control is if I'm playing through someone else's amp and I'm not used to it and I'm getting way more tops than I'm used to. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can throw one on there. It'd be cool either way, I guess. But yeah, I love the idea of just keeping guitars as simple as possible. You've done a great job. So well done to you and Viv.
Excellent. Oh, well, thank you.
And,
yeah.
And also, I just wanted to quickly ask, the medallion on the guitars is the best thing I've seen. That is really, really cool. I love it. And, you know, it's just you can get a decal and put it on, or a sticker, from depending on where you live. And, you know, you see that on a lot of guitars. They varnish over them. But, yeah, how did you come up with that? That's a great idea.
Yes, again, I'm not sure how that idea came about. I suppose because we were working around the different ways of getting our logo onto the guitar, and I forget, but just sort of trawling through the internet looking for ideas, and I think I saw medallions or coins or something, and I thought, and that'll be, you know, fairly straightforward setting that into the neck, and plus it'll be distinctive and durable, and certainly, and it seems to have worked out really well. So
awesome. And I also have another one of your right-handed models here waiting for the good Dr. Rick to check it out, hopefully next week. The Bigsby/Tremolo arm that's on there.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and maybe what inspired you to add that to one of your guitars?
To be honest, the idea of the Bigsby is more, I suppose, and I'm open to correction here, but it's one of those things that it looks good, but I'm not too sure how often people use them.
Yeah.
But I just thought I'd give it a try and see how it works on this guitar, because I've noticed some jazz guys use them to good effect. And so I just thought I'd give it a go, and it actually adds quite a bit of bling to that guitar, which is
it really does look good. It looks really cool. So if people want to find out more about Little Crow Guitars, whereabouts should they visit?
They could visit either our Facebook page, Little Crow Guitars, or our website, which is littlecrowguitars.com. So, I don't always have enough time to sort of keep the website totally up to date and the Facebook, because we're sort of in the workshop a lot of the time, but I do my best to sort of keep up with those sorts of things. And, it's just while we're doing the catching up with our furniture, the guitars are taking a bit of a back seat, but December and January should be devoted to guitars, and there should be a couple more models coming out too.
Awesome. And I just thought I'd share with you too, I posted a video demo up of a pedal and everybody's commenting on your guitar, so you must have done a good job. I think you'll get a few inquiries, and you'll definitely be seeing that a whole lot more, both when I do play live and also on the videos. I've already filmed a few more gear demos with that guitar, and people are loving it. So yeah, well done.
Thank you.
So it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Thanks again for being a part of this, Dave. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day.
No worries, Shane. Thank you. And thank you very much for all the support you've given us over this this journey of getting becoming a guitar maker. So, this is really just the beginning. So thanks very much.
No worries. It's been good to be a part of it, and to also just, throw in my 2 cents and, you know, help you out in any way I can. It's been great.
Well, it's been invaluable. It's always, it's really good to get sort of, feedback from a playing and gigging musician. So been invaluable.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you. It's been quite a long time since Dave and I have actually spoken. We've sent emails and, you know, messages over Facebook to and from each other. But yeah, we haven't actually had a good chat for a while. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was Dave Street from Little Crow Guitars. If you want to find out more about Little Crow Guitars, as Dave mentioned, you can check him out on Facebook by typing Little Crow Guitars into the search engine there, or at littlecrowguitars.com. I'm a huge fan of his guitars, and his latest ones are by far some of the nicest guitars that I've played. And it was great to be a part of the process from when it first started. Rick and I were sent some guitars to test, you know, and we sent them back and we gave them suggestions and feedback on what to improve. So it feels good that Dave and Viv have been able to sort of take some of that constructive criticism and suggestions and make something even nicer from that. And yeah, they're really great, and it's great to see a guitar company doing something different to another guitar company instead of just making clones of other guitars with a different headstock or a different decal on the headstock. They're actually making some really nice guitars. Thanks for listening or watching wherever you are, if you're on YouTube or Facebook, or even listening through the podcast stream at guitarpedaldemos.com or via iTunes. I really appreciate it. Feel free to leave me comments or questions wherever you can reach me at those locations, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. I've got more guests on the way for future podcasts, so I plan on doing more of that, as well as still just talking about gear from my perspective, as well as other things within the music industry. I've got a few different and varied guests coming up as well, so it should be really interesting for people who are new to playing guitar, those who are more experienced, or if you're just into effects or pickups or anything like that. I'm going to have a chat to some people from all over the world, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Thanks for watching, and I will speak to you all very, very soon. And as a reminder, you can check out my tone shop at intheblues.com.au. Thanks for your time. See ya.